Good evening and welcome to Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. Missouri has a new state poet laureate. She is a Leakey Barnstone, an English professor here at the University of Missouri, and somebody who has been a published poet since her childhood. We've got a really fun story to tell tonight about her work, about her new position as the poet laureate of the state of Missouri. She's even going to read us a couple of poems, and it's good stuff, too. A fun conversation about poetry in the state of Missouri and the new state poet laureate. Leakey Barnstone is our guest. Coming up next, it's Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. It's Thinking Out Loud, KBIA 91.3 FM. Our guests this evening, I'm looking forward to visiting with Leakey Barnstone. She is a professor of English here at the University of Missouri, and earlier this summer was named the Poet Laureate of the state of Missouri. And Leakey, welcome. It's great to have you on the show tonight.
It's great to be here.
Let's start by talking about becoming the Poet Laureate. You were named at the end of June, if I remember correctly, and that's exciting stuff.
It was very exciting. I in fact, when it became, I knew it was in the works. I had to get a background check and so on.
Uh-huh.
But when I got the official word, I was absolutely giddy.
That's fantastic. And we've had Walter Bargan on the show before, and we've talked about this position, but just as a reminder, talk a little bit about the position and what exactly it is. What does the Poet Laureate do? What's your job?
Well, I think my job, there's no particular job description. The only thing that I'm supposed to do is write a Missouri state poem. And I've already written many poems that deal with Missouri since I've lived here for 9 years. But I think that each of the poets can decide what their mission is going to be. And my mission so far is to bring poetry to children. And I have a meeting actually later this afternoon at Lee Elementary School. We'll see where we'll go from there. So I'm very excited about that.
Lee's got a marvelous program kind of integrating the arts into all of the learning that goes on there.
Yes, it's a
very cool deal.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that, and because I was a child poet myself, and I was raised by a poet and in an environment that lent itself to that. At the same time that I had a teacher in the third and the fourth grade named Mrs. McMillan, and I adored her, and she didn't have the arts when she was growing up, and so she gave us many sort of fun writing prompts, like write about a color, which of course, then I wrote many poems that deal with colors. It was one assignment. Of course, since I was already writing, I made it into several. And so I think that if you can get children writing, painting, and dancing, and now with, you know, everybody can make a film, children are artists if they just have adults who encourage them. So I'm very excited about this.
The dream, the ultimate goal, some might think would be there's that one kid that you just totally light a fire under their rear end and you find out 20 years later that they've become a poet themselves. But for the kid who gets through this class and doesn't pursue the arts professionally or maybe doesn't spend a lot of time with this later, talk about what being exposed to doing a little bit of painting, reading a little bit of poetry, having music beyond what's on the top 40 in their lives. What does it mean for young people?
So the idea that everybody must become professional is not a useful one in my mind. The idea is that, first of all, we have a problem with literacy in this state and in this country. And if a child has writing is fun, that's an impetus right there for that child to learn more. And to have the most important thing for me is that when I was a child, I was very shy. And my mom is Greek, and she spoke with an accent. My dad is Jewish, and I grew up in Bloomington, Indiana, and in the 1960s. So, You can imagine that.
Yeah.
A very shy kid who happens to be publishing poetry at the age of 10. It was a little rough. But I always had my thing. I had something that was mine that no one can take away from me. Now, no one can take it away from me. If something upsets me in my profession here, and that happens when you're a professor, I can get on that kind of, ruminating about it and being angry about it, and then I kind of say, I've got bigger things to do than worry about this. No one can take my work away from me. And so children can have that too. And if they have it, I think that they will be stronger, and they will not let themselves go with things that aren't unhealthy for them. They will keep a part of themselves separate and safe. And I think I observed in my daughter, she did things in high school that I didn't want her to do. They were very similar to things that I did that my parents didn't want me to do. However, when I did things, there was calculated risk. And there was just so far I would go. And she was exactly the same.
Okay. Aleke Barnstone is our guest. Her website is alekebarnstone.com. Aleke is A-L-I-K-I. And we're going to be visiting more with her about her work as the state poet laureate. But we're going to stop at two or three different spots during the program tonight and give you the opportunity to read some of your work. So just pick something out there. Let us know what you're going to do and let us hear a little.
This poem is called Poetry Game. It's a game where everybody goes around the room and says a word, and everybody writes down the word. And when you have a list of words you feel satisfied with, which is there's no rules about it, then everybody writes a poem using any, all, or none of the words. Or sometimes you can say, hey, let's use five words or whatever. But the words are there to give you a new lexicon and also to give you ideas. So I started playing this game when I was very young with my father and mother and my brothers and the Stone family. Ruth Stone was a National Book Award winning poet, but although when I was a child she was not. And then her reputation grew and grew. But I was blessed to be able to spend my childhood with her and her daughters, and our families were very close. And we'd get together and we'd play the poetry game in Vermont. So this is called Poetry Game. And it's for Dad and Blanche. Blanche Bleakard lived across the street, and she was an older woman who taught me everything I know about gardening or inspired me to be a gardener. So, Poetry Game for Dad and Blanche. I could eat the words if one were strudel. If it were cheese, I couldn't stop myself recalling my friend's birthday parties, how the farmer takes a wife, the choosing game. And my shame to be the lonely cheese standing alone on a braided rug, breathing in sour smells. Not the savory thyme and oregano, not the sweet almond, phyllo, and honey of our home. My father leaning down to read my page of scrawls and doodles. Bird, he'd ask, fountain pen poised, what kind of bird? Chickadee, I'd say, or whippoorwill. Their names were their songs. Chickadee, his black and white head at home in daylight, I could see when he sang, his sharpened beak writing letters that disappeared the instant they were formed on air. Whippoorwill, I knew to be a homely bird who sings only in the dark, invisibly, somewhere in a thorny locust or fragrant pine, so beautiful, a little mournful. But why the mean picture, whip poor Will? I tried to think of another pun, less punishing. If I wrote flowers, I understood to cross it out before Dad questioned the word, unless it were a verb or arranged, a bunch of flowers I'd picked in our field, dried up in a homely jar. I'd say tiger lilies, seeing their orange blooming around the boulder where water pooled after a storm. I'd say hollyhocks, because when I crossed our dirt road to find Blanche Bleakheart, I passed their sunny faces and tall stalks propped up against her weathered clabbered home, her drunk husband bellowing behind the walls. I'd say marigolds, pansies, poppies, and petunias, because she'd be leaning in the dirt, humming a hymn to the green mountains spread above her, a velvet veil across the temple of sky. She looked up and spoke with me, murmuring to calico kittens winding round her ankles as she weeded and harvested. I'd say Jack in the pulpit, holy and purple, appearing in sheltered groves, because the bark peeled away from birches reminded me of the lines of dark earth on her knuckles. And she gently placed some seed pods in my young palm with instructions, a simple homily. Because bordering the rows of homely beans, squash, peppers, and tomatoes, my elderly friend raised the companion flowers I'd later learn keep pests away from our food. And someday I'd grow to be an old lady gifted with a green thumb and sunflowers three times as tall as I stand, shaded by a straw hat.
I like it. What fun. There's decisions you make as you're crafting something like this, because there's a lot of detail, calico cats around her ankles and the types of flowers and things like that. And you can just add every single detail that you can think of, and you end up with something that's 50 pages long, and you can't do that. So you have to pick just the right ones to put somebody in the picture, in that garden in Vermont with the sky above and the velvet. I like that.
Well, one of the themes in this book has to do with the environment, and I was very lucky, and some would say I lived in an anachronistic childhood, because growing up in Indiana, we went to Vermont in the summers, and my mother we'd pull a trailer with her dishwasher, portable dishwasher in it, because she was a painter, and she said, if I didn't have my dishwasher, I would never get any painting done. But we had no TV and no phone until we had a party line. She gave in.
Okay.
Mayberry RFD, we had a party line.
Yeah, no, I remember a house with party line like that. I can still remember when it was my papa's phone and when it was Mr. Nixon next door's phone. I could probably, if a phone rang right now, I could tell you if it was the Nixon's or the Roberts' phone. So
it's another world. But it's a world that we still have access to for a while if we don't destroy our Earth. We played in nature. I remember sitting under, the oak tree, and the little acorn caps were the bowls of the, fairy people's, on the fairy people's tables with little sticks for their silverware. We didn't need dolls. We didn't need sweet streets. We invented out of what was there for us. And I think that that's lost a little, that children don't have quite the freedom in many communities to just run around in nature and let their imaginations take them wherever. And I think that that's a very sad thing to lose, because once you've lost that connection with nature, you have a hard time regaining it. I have a friend named David Grinspoon, who's an astrobiologist, and he posted on Facebook an article that devastated me, that most people, I guess, have not ever seen the Milky Way. And I can't even imagine myself, my poetry, my vision of the world without having seen the Milky Way and having been awed by that. But there's so much light pollution that we don't have the Milky Way, and we don't have fireflies as much as we used to. We do have some, but
yeah, we're missing some things that wowed us and gave us an idea of the scope of how big we might be or how small we might be, depending on how you wanted to look at it. Aliki Barnstone, our guest. It's Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. I'm Darren Helwedge. In announcing you, Aliki, as the poet laureate, Governor Nixon noted Missouri's tradition in the art, and you'll have the opportunity to promote poetry as a whole, but are there other Missouri poets, past or present, that you want to make sure people, especially young people, are exposed to as you do the work in the next couple of years?
Well, we have our Poets Laureate. We also have a lot of contemporary poets. I don't want to, I'm afraid if I name
you
one.
You start naming people and you've got to have this, yeah.
Yeah, so why did you leave me out? But I mean, in each of our universities, we have very brilliant poets, from Wash U to UMKC. We have great poets, and we also have great literary journals, which is, I mean, this state is very rich in the arts.
Yeah.
And
Spear Morgan's two floors up from us with the Missouri Review.
And yeah. which has been you know, named the best literary magazine in the country. New Letters is also is a great literary magazine, a very old literary magazine with great tradition. I publish a lot. I can't publish in the Missouri Review anymore, but I have been publishing in New Letters since I was very, very young. And they're not that my being published there makes it great, but I'm always happy to read the people that are in that journal. It's a fabulous journal. So we have a rich literary tradition, a rich musical tradition. I mean, Miles Davis and Charlie Parker. We may be in the middle of the country, but maybe that's part of our appeal is that that people come here and then they venture out. I mean, our most famous poet is T.S. Eliot.
Yes.
Whose family founded Wash U.
There you go. The work you've read to us, and we've been talking a little bit about this, but you've got a new book coming out very soon.
Yes, it's called Dwelling.
Okay.
And it's coming out October 4th with the Sheep Meadow Press. And it deals with the idea of home as the root ecos. It means in ancient Greek and modern Greek house. And so that's the root of the word ecumenical, the ecology, economy. And I kind of take it out from there.
Aleke Barnstone, our guest again, her website with some of her work, some of her art, and some other things that's really interesting is alekebarnstone.com. You reference the diversity of our state. And this is something that I find wonderful. Great cities at either end of I-70, although they can be quite different in some ways. The unique culture of the Ozarks, which is sort of where my family is from, farm country up in the northern part of the state, the mines in the southeast. The state just has a lot to offer, and from an artist standpoint, a lot to talk about, I guess.
Our country has been diverse since the very beginning. A friend of mine who's been doing some research, Mike White, who's going to be here October 6th, when I will not be here. I'll be in San Francisco giving a reading at City Lights. But he's been doing some research, and he told me something very interesting, that before the Civil War, St. Louis per capita was the most diverse city. It was more diverse than New York City.
Wow.
So our tradition, if we revise it as it was, factually speaking, has always been diverse. I mean, Roger Williams let everybody in. It was a safe haven, Providence, and the names of the I went to Brown, so I'm very aware of the history. The first synagogue was established in Newport in the 18th century. Or is that right? Or 17th century. So I don't remember. I think it's the 17th century.
Yeah.
So we have a very diverse country, and our traditions, we can't have music without the African. There's no American music without the African influence. Banjo
sure.
is an African instrument.
Yeah.
So our diversity is part of who we are as a people. And the more we celebrate it, the better we are. The more possibility opens up for all of us.
Read me another.
So this poem is called Isis in Missouri, and the reason I wrote it is because Isis is a beautiful name. It's the name of the goddess. We have Bob Dylan's song,
yeah.
Isis. And there was actually a lawsuit dealing with the fact that there are girls and women who are being teased and oppressed in various ways because of their name. And so I always say ISIL, and actually President Obama always says ISIL too.
Yeah.
But there is MSNBC headline on 9/3/14 where President Obama says, "We will degrade and destroy ISIS," although he never says ISIS.
Right.
So this poem has the imagery of the goddess in it. Isis in Missouri. My brown-skinned Isis listens to the prayers of slaves and artisans. Sunday afternoon, I visit my friends in the village of Rocheport. Kent's cooked Egyptian lentils and roasted tomatoes with eggs rolled in dukkah he's made by grinding hazelnut, sea salt flakes, coriander, cumin, and nigella seeds. I bow my head over the bowl of aromas rising, delectable enough for goddesses and gods who are nourished smelling the food we humans eat. All day, Isis's name is on my tongue, a grain of fennel sweetening my breath when I speak. Isis riding the airwaves. Isis is with us as we wander the Katy Trail, where the old train tracks used to run from border to border, sometimes along the Big Money River, and sometimes across the wide prairies where once only herds of hoofed creatures trampled the grasses and wildflowers until big cats and wolves took them down the same way as somewhere in Africa. Now, the wild animals in the savannas are fenced in. The weeping willow is cascading green light, sparkling Isis's name without fear. The air is perfect and smooths our skin like water, and everyone on the path smiles with peace to be walking with family or biking through the tunnel into radiant trees. All day long, Isis appears, mother with child, icon passed generation to generation, faith to faith. Across the wetlands, a huge turtle warms its shell, perched on a log, attended by dragonflies hovering, reflecting blues and greens, sky and water. We stop to chat with the owners of an outdoor pizzeria and bakery. Their daughter sits on a wrought iron throne, nursing her baby beneath the canopy of a vast mulberry. Sparrows eat crumbs at our feet. The afternoon sun disk is caught in a sycamore, two white branches sticking out like cow's horns, and vultures circle above Monito Creek. She does not hide her full breast as the group of us talk about books and food, the decline of the bees and monarchs. We do not take God the Mother's name in vain to mean terror. We do not seek to degrade and destroy her brown skin.
Isis in Missouri. Again, our guest is Aliki Barnstone. The book is Dwelling, and it'll be out on October 4th. And it's a wonderful poem. But in addition to the words, we talked with Walter Bargan about this. It's one thing to write a poem into a notebook. It's one thing to publish them, to edit them or adjust the wording. It's another to read them out loud. Mm-hmm. And the performance, that's a part of this. It's a different part of this, but it's a part of this. And just talk about how that's different and how you feel about reading them to us.
I'm a ham.
We are indeed kindred spirits, you and I, yeah. We figured that out over the last hour or so visiting with one another.
It is different. It's different to hear work than it is to read it on the page. And I think that for me, I have had a few people who helped me read better, and that allowed me to be daring and to really express the wonder in my own work. I think that people have a hard time with that. They want to read in kind of in a monotone and not enact. You don't have to act the work, but you might want to enact the work. In other words, you might allow yourself to enjoy the words as you're speaking them as much as you enjoyed writing them. There is a lot of joy in writing. In this particular poem, it combines a lot of my research. I did an edition of H.D.'s trilogy in which she traces the origins of Judeo-Christian faith and the intersections with pagan faith. And so the icon of the Virgin Mary and Jesus is the same as the icon of Isis and Horus. And so that was one of the things that I was trying to sort of convey in the poem, is the idea that as we're going about our lives, the sacred and the beautiful are with us all the time if only we have the eyes to see.
Yeah.
And I tried to portray a beautiful kind of peace in the midst of our time of terror and war, because that peace is what we have to have as our goal, and our love for our earth and our human and every human being needs to be the thing that we hold in our hearts and in our minds as the goal, not the sort of practical necessity of war. Someone has to speak out for peace and for loving everybody.
The new book is going to be called Dwelling. It'll be out on October 4th, Sheep Meadow Press. I got it right this time. Sheep Meadow Press is the publisher, and the author again, the poet laureate of the state of Missouri, Aliki Barnstone. Her website again is alikibarnstone.com. I enjoyed visiting with you an awful lot. This has been fun.
This has been fun.
And it was a fun program. We hope you've enjoyed listening, as Aliki Barnstone was our guest, the poet laureate of the state of Missouri.